Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids Podcast, where we explore what connects us all in our yoga practice and in our lives. This is where I talk to people about their stories, who they are, what they've been through, and where they're going. And in this podcast, that's what we explore. I believe deep down inside, we're all connected, which explains why we bring ourselves to the top of our mat every day. Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids. Welcome to the next edition of the Heartbreak Kids. I'm here with Dawi, and Dawi is one of my students that lives in Toledo. And to be honest with you, like, she holds a special place, like, at AYC and as and my community abroad. And, you know, from maybe like 2, maybe 3 years ago, like, she basically did this training and, like, she went through this program with me, and like I just saw her teaching come to life, and it has been one of the most amazing things. She has a community, which is Ashtanga Yoga Toledo, and it is like beautiful to watch, even if it's from like afar. And so, Dawi, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks, Taylor. Hi, everyone.
Yeah, so let's give the listeners like a little bit of background. And so, like, tell me a little bit about who you are, where you live, like that kind of stuff.
So I live in, basically, I live in Michigan. It's borderline. I know. It's
so
weird.
Don't admit that.
But yeah, go blue. No, just kidding.
You don't want to start the interview with go blue, especially from an Ohio State person.
All right. Well, I actually came to Toledo after I graduated from high school. So I've been living in Toledo for a while. And then I moved back home after I graduated, and then I came back here after we got married.
So, awesome. Where did you graduate?
University of Toledo.
Okay.
So they're still part of like Ohio in me, right?
Yeah. There's a little bit of Ohio in you. And so where did you go to high school at? Was it in Ohio also?
No. I actually born and raised, grew up in Jakarta, Indonesia.
Okay.
So yeah, I went to high school, all the school, elementary, middle school, high school there.
Is your family still there?
Yeah, my whole family. My mom, my two sisters, and my brother and their family. So I'm the only one here.
Wow. And so tell me like the reason why like you wanted to come. Why'd you come to Ohio and why did you go to Toledo if you were doing that?
Yeah, it's funny. Actually, I didn't plan on that. It was almost like it's already set up for me. When I was in high school, my brother came to Toledo and then he went to UT first. And then next thing you know, I was offered to study abroad, and my mom's like, well, I'm going to go back to that with my dad. So my mom actually just offered me if I want to continue my education in the States. And I was like, I was so blessed that it was offered to me. And at that time, for some reason, I was just like, yeah, I'll take it. Let's go. So well, I was ready to, I was ready to leave to, you know, to continue my education. So yeah.
That's so great.
Thanks.
But it was all because of your brother though?
In a way, yes. It's his fault that I end up in Toledo because he was here first. And I came just to, you know, tag along, basically. I came to Toledo and then hoping that I could move someplace else. But then right before I graduated, I met Dave, my husband.
Awesome.
So yeah, the rest is history, actually. I stayed here and then I came home for 1 year and then I worked in Jakarta and then he came down to visit me. Next thing you know, we got married in Jakarta.
Wow. That's freaking amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty, it's bizarre, actually. 3 days, you know, preparation for a small wedding, and then we did it.
Wow.
We made it happen.
Yeah, how many years ago was that?
We got married in 2000.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys have been married a long time.
19 years this year.
Wow, so. That's amazing. Congratulations. Yeah, that's a hell of an achievement.
It is. Yeah. It's not easy, but
marriage
we
is
made
hard.
It yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, and so what did you like? University of Toledo. Like, did you get your bachelor's there?
Yeah, my undergrad actually. I graduated from UT, I try to remember what it is. Communications, actually. Communications, public relations. That's another thing, too, that I was one of those, you know, kids that, oh, I don't want to be with anybody else, everybody else doing the business and science. I want to be different. So I chose communications.
But that's popular field today.
I guess. I don't know. I'm so out of school now. I have no idea. Yeah.
Well, and so let me ask you, like, who was Dawi back then? Like, is it the same person that you are today?
Part of it, yes. A big part of it. I obviously not so much the same person back then because I back in the days, actually when I was 13, my dad passed away. So ever since my childhood, actually, I somewhat kind of like a lost person and I try to fit into so many different groups and, you know, activities and stuff.
Because you felt like you lost your way a little bit?
Yeah, in a way. My mom at that time, after my dad passed, she's basically back to work. And my sister, both my sisters and my brother, they're all older than me. Mm-hmm. And they basically, they're trying to figure out themselves too. They you know, my older sister's like, 12 years older than me, and then my second one is 10 years older, and my brother's like 5 years. So we're far apart. And then they're doing their own thing, and I try to, you know, do my own thing. In a way, I kind of felt like I lost a little bit looking for like a father figure in me. I did not realize that until I, you know, somewhat already like older, and then trying to figure out my way.
Sure.
And yeah. And then, next thing you know, I felt like I have to survive in a way, you know, in community and with my friends and everything. But I don't have any, you know, like problem or anything growing up, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I feel like I just fit in to any group. Growing up in high school.
But it's also, that's hard as a kid, like going through that, like the loss of a dad. I mean, how did you, or what did you do in order to like kind of take care of yourself during that period of time?
That's the thing. I try to not to think about it. I try not to like worry too much about, you know, it's almost like I have to survive in a way. It's like a survival mode on like the whole time. So I was very active with my in my high school year. Like I barely at home, and my mom's like working so hard. But my dad actually he worked for government before he passed.
Okay.
And
was he like a diplomat or something, or a bureaucrat?
He actually more like a personal assistant to like a general attorney back in the days. And so he travels a lot too.
Gotcha.
So growing up, basically I didn't really, get to know my dad, to be honest with you. But my sisters and my brother, they had their experience with him, or, you know, they went through stuff with him. But from what I understand, he's a very strict guy. And, you know, so when he was still alive and I was there, I just remember how he always like spoil me in a way, you know, because I was still like, you know, my son's age, I was still Devin's age, you know. And then when he passed, that's when I start to like, okay, this is weird. Something that I never really like wanted to. Well, I didn't realize that until I, you know, in my adult life, and I start to feel like, okay, I wish he's still around when I need him. You know, I wish he's still kind of like help me out with a lot of things. But I guess a lot of my, you know, my lost attention seeker in a way is like, stem from there. Does that make sense to you?
Of course. And so yeah. What was it like growing up? I mean, before you obviously moved to Toledo, but what was it like growing up in, you know, Indonesia?
Yeah, again, I'm very fortunate that my family come from like a not the wealthiest, but it's just enough to the point that my dad, before he passed, he actually able to tell my mom that, hey, you know, all the kids' school is basically taken care of in a way.
That's awesome.
So yeah, and I did not expect that, or I didn't realize that. But then again, I was still young. I was just like, you know, have the almost like my mom like handed me this plate, like, hey, if you want to continue your education, you're able to. So, and yeah, I'm very fortunate to this point, to that, you know, to that aspect. So
yeah, that's pretty, so, yeah. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then soon as I moved here, then things start to change just because I have to like be more independent in a way, right?
Yeah.
And something that I never experienced in my life before, even though my brother was here. We only lived together for a year. And then after that, he moved back home. And I stayed here with a lot of friends, actually, but from all from Indonesia. And the funny thing is, I did not really learn English when I was here because I was hanging out with all my Indonesian friends.
Yeah, and all that just the makes time. It so much harder to be here too.
Yeah, yeah. So I have to like relearn myself, especially after I came back from, you know, Indonesia after we get married, and I have to really like find my way, because the funny thing is too that after I came back, Dave started traveling all the time. So yeah, it was like, it was hard in a way, as a lot, in a lot of way, for me to really readjusting my life here. So.
Wow. But that's pretty amazing that you got to come here. You got your school paid for, like, you know, out of like something that was obviously hard that, you know, there's good that came out of it. And also you got Dave, like Dave is, you know,
he's a good guy. He's awesome. Actually, he's all right.
He's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah. But, and so like, tell me a little bit about like, you know, after college, like, were you just a mom? Like, were you just like, you know, raising your son?
No, actually after college, again, I had to go home because at that time I haven't had chance to be home for maybe like, I don't know, 3 years before last time I went home. So I was adamant to, you know, to see my family at that time after I graduated. So I went home, and again, Dave came down to visit, and then we got married. And yeah, I mean, everything was, I kind of forget what your question was.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, you know, so, I mean, did you, like, from there, like, did you take, like, I mean, what did you do after you came back to Toledo?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I came back and I worked downtown, actually, in, like, a corporate world for about 2 years.
What did you do? I've never heard of this side of Dawi, so it's like, this is awesome.
Yeah, I was actually working for a financial institution. I managed their, it's almost like a broker account in the morning, early in the morning, that I do a trade for them. It's almost like a semi data entry level thing, but it's exciting because it's something that I do outside the house and everything. It's just my first job. So right. I was very excited about it.
That is exciting. Then, were you good at it?
I was pretty good. I was actually really good. But then things led to another that I had the opportunity to go home more often at that time. And then so I decided to try to bring more products from Indonesia to here to sell. So Dave and I, we had like an import business.
And oh, that's so
I
cool.
I quit my job. And
what stuff were you importing?
More like a home decor, stuff from Bali, from Java, from China too, actually, at that time. So we're just trying to do something different, you know, because we have the time and we have the opportunity. So we did it. But then as soon as we started that, Dave started to work hard to it, work, and then he started to going out of town more often. So, it didn't work out so well. We only opened for a year, and then after that, I got pregnant, and so we decided to like, all right, let's just close the store, and then I was more focused on my pregnancy and then just be a mom.
Was it online or no?
No, it's actually an actual store here in Michigan. It's a small store, but it didn't survive, obviously. We didn't do our research. We didn't do our due diligence. So, yeah. But we did it. There's just an experience.
But that's when you got pregnant with Devin.
With Devin, yes. Mm-hmm.
And so you're a full-time mom at that point.
At that point, yes. I was starting to like, okay, this is, I think I just want to be at home. And very fortunate too that Dave, he can provide for us at that time. So, yeah.
And so when around this point in time did like the thought of like doing yoga like enter into the picture? Like, give me a little context where, like, you know, because obviously I show up much later, you know, I introduced, you know, basically Ashtanga yoga to you and stuff like that. But like when like along the way where you're like, I'm going to do yoga, did you learn in Indonesia or did you learn here in Ohio or what?
In Ohio. Devin was 2 around that time, maybe like a 1.5 or something. And at that point, I was starting to feel like, okay, I guess I'm still trying to figure out about my life here in Ohio. And at that time, too, I felt like I was borderline depression.
Why?
Because I was alone. I missed my family a lot. It's just being here and not knowing a lot is hard.
Yeah. And, I mean, you were homesick?
Yeah, I was.
You missed and your mom Dave, and your sisters and all that?
Yeah, in a way, yes. I guess part of it too, that I make my own case. I make things a big deal, even though it's not a big deal. But at that time, maybe, I don't know, I went through like some postpartum depression. I have no idea. I don't even know what that was.
How old was Devin at this time?
About 1.5 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, and I come across this coupon that actually I got it from auction, like a school auction, seriously.
Really?
Yeah, it's a voucher.
That was divine.
Yeah, exactly. So I bought that, and then I came to the class. The teacher is Jen McCullough. I have to give her credit because I stuck with her for maybe at least 5 years. She's a Hatha teacher in Toledo, and she's still around too. But yeah, I practiced with her the whole time, and she actually helped me a lot going through my whatever kinks that I had at that time, like whatever mental instability. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like, you know, Jess had some sort of like postpartum, you know, depression thing that kind of creeped up for her, which, you know, yoga helps, you know, tremendously with all of that stuff. But it's weird because, you know, like you kind of like don't think that you have it. And then you're kind of like, why am I sad? And I also have a baby that, you know, so there's so many feelings that go along with it for sure.
Right.
But that's a hard time too. I mean, it's really hard.
Absolutely. And at that time, I felt like everything is just magnified because I was alone. I was lonely. And then Dave's out of town all the time. And, you know, I'm raising Devin by myself. You know, it was just all that little thing that adds up.
How much was he traveling? Like, I mean, every week?
Just about every other week. Every other week. But when he's gone, it's like the whole week or maybe two, like 2 weeks.
Wow. Was he traveling internationally or was it all local stuff?
Okay. Both. Yeah. Both. So, yeah. And then the yoga helped, but then also I'm always like very, attracted to all the physical activities. Like mm-hmm. again, in high school, I was playing basketball. I was actually in a team and everything.
Wow. And, I didn't know that. That's an interesting fact.
Yeah. Yeah. That was me. And I was a, you know, a school dancer and stuff like that too. I was trying to do everything I could back then to just fit in with everything. So.
Sure. And did you feel like you fit in or did you still feel different than everyone else?
When I was with them, I felt like, you know, yay, I'm there with them. But then when I was home, it's always something about me that I, for so long, I call this like a social introvert. I don't know if that's even a word or not, but I made it up, I guess, because socially I'm always okay. But then I like to be at home or even like, you know, just when my time is done with everything outside, and I just like to be back to my cave. Does that make sense to you?
I mean, that's exactly how I am too.
Is that really?
Yeah, I mean, of course. Like I'm good socially all the time. I can teach workshops all the time. I can be in front of 20, 30 people.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like, but I have to go back to my hotel room or go back to my house after teaching Mysore. Like, I don't want to be around anyone. You know,
right,
it's really hard to, you know, especially teaching and stuff. Like it's a lot of energy output, but you know, it's like it's same thing as what you're describing, really.
Okay. So
you're not that weird.
Okay, good.
You're a little weird, but you're not that weird.
I thought I am. No,
that's why. That's why, like, you know, like there's a gravitational pull between us. You know, because it's like,
yeah,
you know,
because
like
we're weird like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I don't deny my weirdness. I'm definitely weird.
Right now, actually, I kind of enjoy it. I enjoy my social awkward introvert thing. So, yeah, I'm okay with that.
And so did you feel like you fit in with yoga?
Absolutely.
Like did you feel like, I mean, was there an immediate connection to like kind of mind and body and the community around you?
When I started, I didn't even know that yoga actually found me in a way, because as soon as I started that class, obviously I always gravitated towards going back and I wanted more, not necessarily wanted more. I just want to be there. I just want to be on top of my mat regardless, you know,
right.
Even though I do, like I said, I had my other, you know, physical activities. Like I did Zumba. I did like all kinds of other crazy
exercises. I can't picture that at all. Just for
the record. Don't. Yeah. You don't want to see that. But yeah, I did. I tried everything else, but I always go back to yoga for some reason.
Because it just had a special place in your heart, or what kind of drew you to it?
I guess part of it is that it gives me stability. That's the only place that I can really rely on every time I get my craziness or weirdness, Dawi. You know, I always go back to that space when I'm
because of the connection with the breath or the movement with the body or what was it?
The quietness, the calmness, you know, and again, Jen, my teacher, my first teacher, she's teaching Hatha, and then everything is just like so, you know, calming and quieting. And I think that's what I needed at that point. And maybe I was breathing too, but I didn't really think about it.
Yeah. You were just being present.
It's just that all the connection, you know, with myself at that time.
Yeah. I mean, because I'm really interested in like your take of yoga, because, you know, there's not many people that I meet that like, you know, come from such like a place that you come from, like you come from really like a heart place. And you know, I don't say that lightly or I don't really say those words very often because I just don't use flowery language like that. But you know, like you kind of had the yoga before I even met you, you know, like it was already kind of in you. And so like, was it that connection with, you know, just like peaceful? Like, do you feel like you have like a really active mind?
Yeah. I mean, my mind has never stopped, Taylor. It's just, that's the hardest part about.
But was the yoga helping you, like, calm your mind? Is that why, like, you've had this, like, kind of experience with this lady?
Yes. I did not realize that. I can't even put it into, like, descriptions, like, why I love yoga. I didn't even think about how much yoga is helping me at that time. I just always gravitate towards going back over and over. Does that make sense to you? At that time, I couldn't even figure out why, but I know that every time I go back, I keep wanting more. So, and then next thing you know, I start to explore different style of yoga mm-hmm. around Toledo. The funny thing is I never heard of Ashtanga until I met I saw one of my best friends from high school. She lives in Malaysia, and then she actually introduced me to Ashtanga. I was practicing Bikram at that time.
What? You can't admit that.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
A lot of people their first practice was sometimes that. And it's a discipline. I mean, it's hot.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I was practicing a different style. And then my friend mentioned about Ashtanga. So I came back after visited her in Malaysia. So I came back here and then I started researching. Before I even like knew what Ashtanga really was, you showed up. You came to Toledo for a workshop.
Yeah, I remember that David actually set the workshop up. It was like an awesome workshop too.
Yeah. But the funny thing is that before you showed up, I already practiced primary series modify before I even knew that was Ashtanga.
How did that happen?
Well, in a way, I take that back actually. So before you showed up, I already practiced the rocket system, it's yoga because it's, the headquarters here in Toledo. And then they have this modified primary version of the primary instead of like taking the whole full primary. It's only like half and then they kind of like modify a little bit, bits and pieces there. Yeah, and I've been practicing that for a while, but that I didn't even know that was, I knew it was primary, modified primary, but I wasn't really like, think that was like part of Ashtanga for some reason. So, yeah, and then you showed up, and that was actually one of those times that I was desperate about, all right, I would love to find a teacher. And then there you are.
Standing in front of you.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that was maybe one of my first, this is maybe 2015.
That was 2015. Yeah.
Yeah. 15. Mm-hmm. This is maybe like one of my first 20 workshops or something,
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember we set it up and we did an interview and like, it was a big deal. It was like the first time Yogaja had someone, from out of town, like come in or whatever. So it was, it was a good event. But I remember also looking through the room and like seeing the people like that were eating up the words that I was saying, like really processing it. And it's like, you wanted more and more and more.
Yeah. And then I remember you invited me to come to Columbus. I didn't have the chance just because I was full-time mom. Dave was traveling and I couldn't even figure out a way to have a weekend out, it's not possible. And probably part of it, I was still kind of like somewhat scared too. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're doing the like rocket modified thing, Ashtanga is a lot different than that. They add a lot of, they add a lot of flair into it, but I could see, when we first met, I could definitely see that you like had potential, but you were totally scared for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you came back the second time, same year. I don't know if you remember, it was September.
I came back in the same year?
Yeah, you came back the same year. It was my 40th birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then that's when I knew for sure that all right, I want to try to commit to this. And I think around that time too, it's funny because you know what happened when you wish something and then it really happened and then you're like, shit.
You're freaking out.
Exactly. Yeah. It's because around that time too, honestly, Dave's career, so to speak, like his main job and everything, he started to realize that, hey, I've been away from this family for so long and he wanted to be more present, you mm-hmm. know, with the family. So he kind of like trying to make his way to be more, you know, stay home. And I try to make my way more like, okay, I want to explore more yoga and I want to explore this Ashtanga in Columbus. So I think with time and everything just works out together that he start to be more at home. And then I start to wanting to, you know, to go to Columbus, yeah. to be honest with you.
And yeah. so tell me about like your first experience when, you know, because I know like kind of how like the workshop went down and I know that you were like mm-hmm. really hungry for the information, but tell me yeah. about like what your first experience was when you walked up the stairs at Ashtanga Yoga Columbus and you were like, I'm here.
I was petrified.
Why?
I knew that I'm in for a long haul. I'm in for a long journey, and I was ready, but I just didn't know how much I, you know, things will like throw at me. You know what I mean? Like yeah. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but you know, like how much that I really connect to this practice and how much I really need this practice in my life. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And how like deep of an experience was it for you on that first class, that first like Mysore class in at the Shala?
It was like, I don't know if it's really meant something, but I feel like I've been there before somehow. Mm. The feeling, just the feeling, you know, like it's familiar right. for me.
The practice or the energy or the space or what?
Everything, right? Going there, of course, I was like super nervous. Like I said, going up the stairs, I was petrified. But as soon as I just like managed myself, you know, get in there and then saw you and then you welcomed me really, really warm. And then I just stood up on my mat. I think you point me out to right in front of the altar. That's my first time. That was just like, okay.
All right, great.
Exactly. I can't really like run away now.
You're stuck.
So yeah, definitely. But I think that's what I needed. I'm glad you did. I'm glad that was the spot. I'm glad I was there. I'm glad that it happened that way because it really brought me to a place that it's familiar. But in a way that I know that I was home. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It sounds like it's, you know, it sounds like the whole experience, like, you know, in my understanding of like these sort of situations, it feels like it's like almost perfect alignment. You know, it's like when all the stars like put together exactly. and you're exactly where you're supposed to be at the exact moment that you're supposed to be yeah. at it. So
absolutely. Yeah. yeah.
And it just yeah. feels like a somewhat kind of a sorting inside where you're like, oh yeah, like this totally resonates with me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that was it. That was the day that I know that, all right, I know that, you know, this is what I need.
You're like, I'm going to do this thing.
Exactly. I didn't know how far I would do it, but I just kept coming back. And then you actually offered me the whole, you know, like the mentorship and everything. I didn't even have to think about it because at that time I just know that my heart was there. Yeah. And then even Dave, like he didn't even give me a hard time to, you know, think about it or whatnot. And he kind of knew it too. He's like, go for it, do it. Yeah. So I'm like, okay. So like I said, you know, all stars align and, you know,
that's awesome. I mean, and we're getting ready to like offer another apprenticeship or mentorship program. And okay. you know, that's like, that moment when I offered it to you, like, and everything came into line. It was just like a beautiful, it was a beautiful group of people, and it was just like,
absolutely.
It was just amazing. Like, how it all kind of fell into place. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And so how nowadays, do you have the same sort of motivation as what you had back then? Are you showing up to your mat for the same reasons or different reasons? Maybe I'll reframe it a little bit.
Slightly different. At that time, I tried to show up for myself. Now when I practice, I really showing up just not for me. I show up for my community, for my AYT, for my students, and for my family. So I think I'm holding a bigger responsibility now when I show up on my mat. I don't know. It's just how I feel. It's just how it becomes now. And then I just try to show up for myself first so I can provide the space for other people. Does that make sense?
Of course. And so, like, how, actually, let me ask you, like, you know, one of the main questions that we ask people is basically, like, you know, why do you practice? And so why does Dawi practice today?
For me, obviously, I have to go back to that day during your apprenticeship and your mentorship that we talk about core value. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I really found my core value. And I didn't know at that time, it's just those five words that I chose. And I try to figure out why am I attracted to this word, all these words. And then next thing you know, it just, things start to like fall into place that I practice because, again, stability is one of them. I need my personal stability to, you know, to be who I am by practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the other one, the sense of gratitude. For some reason, I just, when I show up on my mat, I feel like I can feel the most gratitude towards everything. That's why I cry a lot on my mat for some reason. I told you I'm weird like that.
You're allowed to cry on your mat. Yoga's allowed to like bring up these things for you.
I know. Yeah, but it's not like something for things in the past because of, you know, like listening to some of the other people that interviewed in your podcast, you know, their story is so amazing and they have reason to show up on their mat. And my reason is just basically for me, because I feel like I have this scared little Dawi always with me all the time. And in order for me to pacify that little scared Dawi, or to like make sure that she's not, you know, like giving me a hard time of being, I don't know, being insecure or, you know, my low self-esteem and, you know, not good enough, that kind of stuff to show up in me. I have to like practice so I can tame that down. Does that make sense to you?
Of course. Yeah.
So I call that, you know, my scared little Dawi just because it is there. And I will never going to be able to, you know, push that away. It's part of me, but I just have to like make sure. And I understand that it's okay to be there, that, you know, that side of me, my ego, whatever. And as long as I don't let that person or that ego, Dawi, the other Dawi, to have the car key, you know, it just have to stay in the passenger side for me. Does that make sense?
And so tell me a little bit more about this, like scared Dawi. The scared little Dawi.
I guess part of it is, I don't know, maybe stem from when I was young, you know, like I was lost all the time. And then again, I was telling you about, you know, how I longing for this father figure. And then I just, for some reason, I try to survive all the time. Not in a bad way, nothing like, you know, like in a horror, you know, stories or anything, but it's just me. You know, I always like not knowing what to do and, you know, again, trying to fit in. For some reason, it's just like, I think it's just from all the, you know, the insecurities that I have right. when I was young.
And are you able to kind of like, you know, take those insecurities and make them assets now with the yoga? Or are they still there and you just don't listen to them anymore? Or?
Oh, yeah. It's still there. Like I said, this little Dawi is still always there. At least that's how I take it. But I just don't give it a chance to take the car keys, you know, to drive the car, you know, to drive me. It's just, I just let that little scared little Dawi sit in the passenger side,
yeah.
you know, have the seatbelt on. And then, you know, every time I feel like it start giving me a tantrum, I try to listen to it. I try to like give in maybe sometimes if I'm tired of, you know, pretend that I'm strong all the time. So I let it happen. I let, you know, like if I'm scared about something, that it is what it is, you know. I try not to like be so, you know, pretend that it's not happening. You know, if I feel insecure, then it is what it is. But at the same time, I try not to have that happen all the time, you know. So the practice helps, and then I start to do meditation too. So
awesome.
Yeah.
This practice means a lot to you, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Yeah. So, it's been really helping me so much with everything.
So tell me what it was like to go to Mysore, India, and be like at the birthplace of Ashtanga yoga and go and practice for the first time.
It was surreal, actually.
Wow. Tell us about it.
I heard all the stories, obviously, right? Not until you get there, you wouldn't know what you're doing, or you didn't really expect things happen to you. You know what I mean? Like I didn't expect that. You know, the feeling itself is just overwhelm. Obviously, I was very lucky that Dawn was there. You know, so
yeah,
she kind of like
help.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm forever grateful for that. And you helped me so much too getting there, you know, just by giving me some encouragement or whatever, motivations and stuff. So, but I tried 3 times. Did you know that? I think I know.
How many?
I think you know that, right? 3 times.
Well, and I mean, third time you got it?
Fourth
time you got it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that alone is already like, all right. I have nothing to lose now. When I applied, I just did it, right? I applied and then I get accepted. Not until I get there that everything starts to like, oh, wow. It's just, you know, very.
I mean, you were nervous to show up at my shala, but showing up at the shala, how nervous were you?
To be honest with you, it's about the same, maybe less.
Because you were prepared?
I think so.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I already met Sharat before I went to Mysore. I went to his workshop in Europe 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just kind of like, you know, like, I don't know, like introduction, practicing with him. So I kind of know what to expect in a way. But it's just the whole feeling of being in Mysore, being in the shala, it's still overwhelming as it was, but again, it feels like familiar. Like I felt like I've been there, not in that particular situation, but the feeling itself, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's kind of the same feeling as what I had for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, I've been here before. I've felt this energy before, you know, felt like home.
Yeah, exactly. So that's pretty much the same feeling when I first time practicing at Yashala.
Wow.
Except, you know, it's Vicharat, and obviously he's, you know, he's the man.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And so tell me a little bit about like your community now.
Oh, you know, Ashalega Toledo.
Yeah,
yay.
I know you guys are rocking it out.
Thanks. Well, with your help, obviously, right? You've encouraged me when I first time trying to open it up, and then you just giving me all the right words, all the right thing to do. I was scared, obviously.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure what.
Several conversations with you, I was like, oh yeah, she's scared to do this. But you,
oh my gosh, yes.
Time, right person. It was just, there's so many green lights, Dawi, and I just saw it, you know.
Thank you. So, well, yeah, we started like 2 days. It was 3 years ago.
Yeah, two days of Mysore, and you had like five students, I think.
Exactly. Less than that, actually, only maybe, yeah, three or four at that time.
Wow.
And then, you know, start to build up, and then people come and go. And again, I have to give Margaret, you know, gratitude for giving me the space for the community to grow.
Yeah, she really gave it an opportunity to just do whatever ever you wanted to do and do it the right way.
Pretty much, yeah. And then so, yeah, starting from 2 days, and then next thing you know, 3 days. And we started with half primary series on Saturdays. And then when people start working on more than Bhujapidasana, then we add like the full primary series. So, I mean, for me, I feel like the community grows organically. I don't really try to push everything way too much too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Just like how I am, I guess, or how I practice, just because I feel like I am a slow grower, you know, growth person anyways, as far as like, you know, progress.
Right.
And I kind of like that because I would rather spend more time, you know, than just trying to like push through and not learning what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, from the beginning, you've been a very good student. You know, like you've just been someone who's just like taken on the information and done what you needed to do and really,
thank
I mean,
you.
Dived in. It's been amazing to witness. You know,
thank
it's
you.
So cool to like, you know, see, you know, Yogaja, like, you know, basically turn into Ashtanga Yoga Toledo for you and like,
yeah.
You know, watch a community spring up around you. And so like, you know, you first started going to yoga because like you didn't feel connected and like, you're struggling,
yeah.
And now look at the people that you're able to help today. It's unbelievable,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah, it's very, very humbling in a way.
Yeah, but it's awesome, Dawi. And from this
yeah.
perspective, where I'm standing, it best show in town. Seriously.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate you so much, too, for helping me, and not just me and my community, too. And, you know, we always look forward for you to come, you know, every year. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show. And I really appreciate like your presence in my life and, you know, like your, you know, obviously Dave and Devin, like I've got to spend so much time with you guys and it's just been, you know, it's like old time friends, you know, it's like from the beginning, it's been like old time friends.
And, likewise, same here.
And so I appreciate you being on the show and thank you for sharing your journey into yoga and like your passion behind it. And for all the listeners, if you're in Toledo, go and check out Ashtanga Yoga Toledo and check out Dawi and her crew.
Thank you, Taylor.
Yeah,
thanks guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being on.
Thank you.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. If you want more information about Ashtanga Yoga, visit ashtangayogacolumbus.com. You can also check out my website, which is taylorhuntyoga.com. See you guys next time.